You're juggling a lot, but you know nothing matters more than your kids. We're here to support you. This is Hope and Will, a parenting podcast from Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. Hearing the words, "your child needs surgery," can stop any parent in their tracks. Your mind races. Is it safe? Will my child need anesthesia? Will they be scared? Today, we're pulling back the curtain to the operating room to help you get a feel for what to expect if your child needs surgery. We'll hear from two people who have spent considerable time on both sides of the operating room doors. We'll talk first with Brittany, a proud local mom of two. Brittany has ridden the pre-surgery emotional roller coaster through three ear tube surgeries and one tonsillectomy and adenoidectomy. She will share the fears she had before each procedure and what it was like to be in the waiting room. We'll then chat with Dr. Jill Wilson, a pediatric anesthesiologist who also serves as the medical director for the Meridian Mark Surgery Center here at Children's. Dr. Wilson addresses concerns that can keep parents up at night and shares fascinating insight into what it's like to call a pediatric operating room her home away from home. Our goal is to leave you feeling informed, reassured, and mentally prepared for a child's surgery, whether it's one that's been planned for months or one that happens as an emergency due to illness or injury. While this may be one of the most stressful days of a parent's life, for the team caring for your child, it's something they're trained to do day in and day out. It's my pleasure now to welcome Brittany and Dr. Jill Wilson to the show. Hi, ladies. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us.
Hello. Thank you.
Hi. Thanks, Katie.
And Brittany, I'd love to start with you here. You were a first-time mom in this situation. Many know all too well the valley of the back-to-back ear infections, loss of sleep, that helpless feeling. So tell us what was going on at home for you when you first heard that word surgery.
It was a long road. We were living on antibiotics, in and out of urgent cares if pediatrician was closed, and then you pick them up from daycare and the ears are hurting and then the fever begins. Lots of back and forth. Like you said, the sleepless nights, the upset stomach once we were on the antibiotics. It seemed like we were repeating over and over again the same process to be told it's another ear infection. You kind of got excited when it was just one side and not both. You knew what was coming, more antibiotics, more upset stomach, more not wanting to eat and fussiness. So when we finally got to the point that the surgery topic was breached, it was a mix of emotions. It was, there's an ending in sight, things are going to get better. But then you knew there was a surgery component. So that meant we're looking at going under. That's a lot to take in as a parent. And you know that there's hope on the other side, but there's definitely an obstacle in the middle, and that's putting your child under for a procedure. They're not an adult. It's very different when it's your child.
Absolutely. And it's so natural to be nervous and scared in that moment. And what helped you feel at ease and more confident about that decision for your son Holden to have surgery?
So we went in for a consult initially to just make sure the specialist agreed. We were recommended from the pediatrician, and then you get to the specialist. And from the beginning, we were just welcomed with smiles, welcome to Children's, high fives, there were fist bumps, there were toys, there was bright, colorful scenery. But the topic is still there. We're there to discuss surgery. But all of my questions were answered very thoroughly. So I came with a lot of questions, but I felt relieved because there wasn't a question that was silly or off the table.
Oh, and being reassured like that, it means everything when you're going through something like this for the first time.
Oh, absolutely.
So walk us through that first surgery day and the days kind of leading up to it. Talk about your nerves and mentally preparing for that day.
I was anxious. I mean, I feel like every time that I would commit in my head, then popped another question. Could something go wrong? Are they prepared? Holden was 6 months. We started this journey very early. Having all my questions answered was the biggest thing. There were follow-up calls to make sure we felt confident in what was about to happen, what time we needed to arrive, make sure we don't feed him before we arrive. There were checklists that were sent home with us from that appointment. There's communication in the form of printed paperwork. There were text reminders. And then, of course, the phone calls to follow up and make sure everything was in place leading up to the appointment.
Oh, of course. And what do you remember most about the morning of surgery?
The morning of surgery, I just told myself I've had good communication. I know what's about to take place. I knew exactly what was going to happen when we walked in. We were greeted. We went through checking his blood pressure and different vitals, weighing him, making sure that he was still meeting all the marks that he had just met in the pre-op appointment a week or so prior. And then they reminded me that I'll have the opportunity to go back as Holden falls off to sleep, as they use the anesthesia. I think the phrase that they used that stuck out to me that was prescribed just for him, just his size, just what Holden needs. And so that was reassuring to me that everything is for his particular case. It's really built for him, not just a child getting ear tubes. So I went with one of the staff members back to the operating room and I got to hold him. And he laid down on a table. And then I just reassured him that I'm right here. Everything's going to be okay. And they put the little mask over his face. And he just kept looking up at me. And I just told myself, hold it together. Hold it together. Everything's okay. And the staff were right there. And they were like, it's okay, Mom. You're doing great, Mom. And then he just closed his little eyes and went to sleep. And they said, well, he'll be right back with you before you know it. And we walked back through those doors and there was another person to greet me, to take me to the waiting area and someone to discuss exactly what was happening at that point. It wasn't like, here's the waiting area, we'll see you in a little while. They were telling me exactly what was taking place and they were checking on me. It felt like every few minutes. It was great. There was no time where I wondered what was coming next.
And I want to talk to Dr. Wilson in just a few minutes about the ability to walk your child back to surgery. I know that's not available in every case, but what a relief to be able to do that and to ease those nerves. Was there anything about the entire process that surprised you, good or bad?
I was surprised at, in a good way, the level of communication. I expected somebody would walk me through how to get back there to OR, and they would get me back to the waiting room where I was waiting with my husband. But I didn't expect that constant communication throughout that half hour or so that I was in the waiting room. It was consistent. I wasn't forgotten about. I don't think that happens a lot in the adult world.
And unfortunately, this wasn't your only run-in with surgical services at Children's. Tell us about some of the other surgeries that came later in your parenting journey.
So we actually journeyed down the same avenue with Shelby, my daughter, 6 months, ear tubes, recurrent ear infections, same process. We were just kind of living on antibiotics. But this time with Shelby, I felt more prepared to just go ahead and say, at what point do we qualify? Shelby was very little. So she was born full term, very small, around 4 pounds. So I told the pediatrician, I want to go back to Children's and I want them to take a look at Shelby. I want them to say yes or no at 6 months that we can take her. I said, because if they agree that she can go through with this procedure, I know that it's going to make a difference in her life. I brought them a child the size of a 2-month-old that had a birthday of a 6-month-old. They measured Shelby. They double-checked with the anesthesia team. They double-checked with the doctor. And I don't know how many times I probably asked the same question. We have on record that she's much smaller, and everybody's good with that, right? They said every person on this team is prepared for Shelby.
And then talk about Holden when he was 2 and his next surgery.
Yes. So his next surgery led us to needing tonsils and adenoids removed. He had 13 strep positives in about a 6-month time.
Wow.
And I was just convinced that the wind blew with strep and that child had it. We went down the avenue of, oh, maybe he's a carrier. Maybe he just keeps strep. That's just Holden. That was not the case. The local recommendation was 3 years old to get those tonsils and adenoids out. And at this point, we hadn't even made it to Holden's second birthday. And so I was like, oh, we're going to have a whole nother year of pediatrician visits and missed school, missed events.
Antibiotics.
And living on antibiotics. I just asked, I know we're trying to get to 3 years old. We haven't made it to 2 years old. Can I see what Children's thinks? And we got the referral from the pediatrician. And they told us, this is a special case. And what we want to do is take care of Holden outside of just the boundary of an age. And we really think we could take care of this. We're going to do it a little bit different. We're going to bring him in and keep him and make sure the pain is controlled. But we feel like we can really take care of this.
Did you feel more prepared this time for this surgery?
I did. And I don't want to say my guard was down, but it really was. Like, my guard was so much further down than it had been when we went in for ear tubes. And I knew that this was a much more invasive procedure. Again, they tailored it to Holden. Holden was younger and smaller. And so instead of just having it the way that they would do for a three-year-old, they brought him into the hospital and they kept him for a little while and made sure that we were good to go after the procedure.
And how are Shelby and Holden doing now?
They're doing fantastic. They are into everything you can think of sport-wise. They both swim. They're in pools and they are swimming, and it's just never been an issue. We're not missing school for an ear infection. It's fantastic.
And now I am excited to bring you into the conversation, Dr. Wilson. And listening to Brittany talk, I can relate to her so much. My 10-year-old daughter just had an adenoidectomy at Children's just a couple of months ago. So I can relate, and I remember the feeling very well of all of this. I want to give a shout out also to our pre-op nurse, Jeannie and Kelsey with anesthesia, because they not only calmed my nerves, but also my daughter's anxious 10-year-old nerves, because we were talking about babies just a moment ago, but at 10, you really know what's going on. And I think they treated her with such respect on her own. And the whole team was just so kind and gentle and wonderful. So I want to point that out first of all. But we were lucky as a family that this was our first surgical event. And we were especially nervous about anesthesia, which, of course, is your wheelhouse. Can you tell us about your job as a pediatric anesthesiologist? What drew you to it to begin with?
Thanks for having me, Katie. And Brittany, I loved hearing your stories. I'm a mom too, and I have a daughter who's also had surgery. So I'm coming at this from both sides. I love my job. I love pediatric anesthesiology. I first entered medical school with aspirations of being a pediatrician. But when I was exposed to the operating room, I fell in love with it. And then when I learned what it was to be an anesthesiologist, it was a match made in heaven for me to combine the pediatrics and the anesthesia. And here I am more than 25 years later.
And it's very different, of course, in pediatrics.
Oh, absolutely. It's very different. And it requires extra training. Any pediatric anesthesiologist has likely added a minimum of a year to their training in order to understand the complexities of what that means to take care of a six-month-old or a 10-year-old or a 16-year-old for that matter. It's these little ones are changing on the outside so rapidly, and they're changing on the inside. And it really takes someone who understands every step and every developmental change to be able to adapt and to customize the anesthetic plan or just the plan in general. What does it take to alleviate the anxiety in a 10-year-old compared to a 3-year-old or an 18-year-old? And that's what we do. You're right, Katie. It's my wheelhouse. We do this every day, and we're very good at what we do because we've taken the time to learn how to do it.
And I think that's what helps children stand out, is that your child is guaranteed a pediatric trained anesthesiologist.
Indeed, we are. We are pediatric fellowship trained, which means we have dedicated that extra time to our training in this field.
Paint a picture for us, Dr. Wilson, of what your typical day looks like.
Well, we start early. We get to work and jump right in. Usually our first surgeries can be as early as 7:15 in the morning, which means we're getting our first parents and children there pretty early. And so the first thing that I do is start saying hello to my families and introducing myself and confirming all of the information that is already provided to us from parents filling out questionnaires that they've received so that we have an idea of what your background is, searching for old records in the anesthesia computers and understanding what has happened before if we have previous surgeries, and then just talking with the families and trying to take that opportunity to address their anxiety. It is completely normal to come in and be anxious when your child's having surgery, whether it's the first time or the third or fourth or fifth time. And we know that. We're ready for that. We expect that. And that's our job, is to listen and to reassure and to make sure that the parents feel good and as calm as they can be. Once we finish those conversations, we get our day started and we start surgeries, and we do surgeries all day, every day. And after the surgeries, we're following up in the recovery room with our kids, and we're following up once we get them back to their parents and making sure that the transition is going well, because the anesthesia is not just in the operating room. We're taking care of the kids before, during, and after the surgery, and it doesn't finish until we're helping you in your car and making sure that you're going home with all of those important instructions and that the parents feel good about being prepared So it's a very thorough, very all day approach.
And I love that because as a parent, you only see such a small glimpse of what you do. So it's nice to hear all that goes into it from the beginning to the end of your day.
Yeah.
We've talked about ear tubes and adenoidectomies and tonsillectomies. Talk about how common those surgeries are.
Oh, yes. We do those every day, all day. And it's because children need these types of surgeries. Other things, of course, kids break their bones. They get injured playing sports. So there are many routine surgeries that we do every day at all of our surgery centers.
Also, let's talk about that moment that, of course, the parents dread usually the most, the moment when their child is taken back and away from you. They're out of your hands, out of your control as a parent, which is tough. But what should parents expect?
They should expect to be nervous. That's a very vulnerable feeling. My own daughter has had surgery, and I watched her be escorted into the operating room. I did not accompany her like Brittany had the opportunity to do so. And sometimes we do allow parents to go back in the operating room to be an extra level of comfort for their child. But sometimes that's not an option. And in those situations, there are things that we can do to try and alleviate that separation anxiety. It can be as simple as singing songs or playing music, telling jokes, distraction techniques. We also have wonderful child life specialists at some of our locations. We have canine therapies, so we have dogs that we can bring in to help the kids feel better and more calm. And sometimes we revert to medicines that can help. Giving a medicine while they're with their mom and dad in the pre-op area that can help relax them and ease their anxiety. That's a tremendous help for children so that when we do have to separate them, we try and make it as positive or as gentle as possible.
And also talk about who is in the room, in the operating room.
So you'll have your anesthesia team. That's usually composed of two people, the anesthesiologist and their assistant. There'll be a nurse, the operating room nurse. There is, of course, the surgeon and whatever team they bring with them. And then we have operating room technicians, and they're the specialists who understand all the instruments and help the surgeon get exactly what they need to complete their surgery. That's the core of our operating room team.
And Brittany also mentioned the communication and how much she appreciated how constant the communication was through the whole process. Talk a little bit about why that is so important on your end.
We know that parents are nervous, and we know that it doesn't go away until they're back with you in your arms. And it's so natural to be worried the whole time. And one small thing that we can do is to just keep you updated. And that is different than an adult surgery environment. I think Brittany really summed that up in that we're so aware of the natural anxiety and nervousness and vulnerability that comes when your child has surgery. The most straightforward thing that we can do is just simply keep you updated through the day. And it really does help and make a difference just to know that you haven't been forgotten about. You're not just sitting in your room with that curtain closed, wondering, well, how much longer? Is it okay? Are they okay? When will I get them back? And just knowing, okay, they've started, everything's going well, or they're wrapping up, we should be back to you soon. It makes a world of difference to just put you at ease or as ease as we can get you on a very nervous day.
Absolutely. And I was also surprised at how fast it all was. I felt like I sat down and finally was able to take a few deep breaths and then the procedure was over. Brittany, did you feel the same way?
I did. That was fast, was the first thing that went through my mind. I was like, oh, wow, we're done. And the next part was I was explained what it may look like when he comes back or when she comes back. They may be very tired or they may be very upset. So they updated me but said the way that they could react. And I think that helped me as well.
Absolutely. Because you don't know what you're about to get.
No, you don't. And they said it's 50-50. 50% of them wake up just fine and have some juice. 50% wake up and they are very nervous, upset, maybe crying. So it was nice to know what we could be coming into here.
Absolutely. And Dr. Wilson, does the process vary by location? And does it change if it's an inpatient procedure or an outpatient procedure?
It can. We have four operating locations at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, and each one of them have a little different flair, a different approach. But for the most part, things would be the same. But sure, there's going to be a couple differences depending if you're in the hospitals, the main hospitals, Arthur M. Blank or Scottish Rite, compared to our two outpatient surgery centers, Meridian Mark and Satellite Boulevard. But for the most part, the communication will be the same. The general approach should be the same. We want families to be comfortable wherever they're at.
That makes sense. And as parents, of course, when it comes to your child, there's no such thing as a simple, easy surgery on our end. But we have been talking about the ear tubes, tonsillectomies, adenoidectomies, more common surgeries that you guys deal with day in, day out. But what changes for you and your team behind the scenes when a case is more complex or emergent?
Oh gosh, it starts right from the get-go when you understand what cases you're going to do for that day or even the day before. There might be conversations with surgeons directly to identify any different nuances, spending time, of course, understanding the child's medical history, which may be more complex at that point, preparing and ensuring that we have all the right equipment, blood products if needed, extra monitoring, things like that.
And one thing that I was surprised to learn is that children's is number two in the nation for surgical volumes with more than 46,000 procedures a year. Wow, that's a lot.
It is. It really is. And it's just a reflection of what we're doing here in Atlanta and what we can do. We're doing everything from transplants, heart transplants, liver kidney transplants, major complex cardiac surgery at Arthur M. Blank Hospital. We're doing complex brain surgeries, orthopedic surgeries at Scottish Rite Hospital and at Arthur M. Blank. And then, as we've all talked about, we're doing all of our healthy kids at our surgery centers because healthy kids need anesthesia too. So we've got some wonderful specialty surgeons and skills and techniques that people are coming to Atlanta from other states.
Talk to us about what the level one status means from the American College of Surgeons for children's surgery verification. What does that mean?
So the American College of Surgery Verification Program, it's a recognition that our pediatric surgery areas have met the highest standards that have been set by the American College of Surgeons. It's a very difficult level to obtain and maintain, and we are in that wonderful select group, and it's a wonderful accolade for children's, and we're very proud of that.
That also brings up another good point. We focused on those cases that families can prepare for, sometimes for weeks, months, even years. All surgeries are not planned. So what is different about those cases, and what can parents know going into those situations?
So emergency surgeries, they happen, right? My daughter fell from a playground piece of equipment, broke her elbow, and bam, we were in the emergency room being told that we had to have surgery. We've got staff in the hospitals at Arthur M. Blank and at Scottish Rite 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and we are always ready for anything that comes our way. The communication doesn't change. The way that we comfort you doesn't change. We know that those environments could be even more nerve-wracking than had you had time to prepare yourself and ask all of your questions in advance.
Why can patients not typically eat or drink before surgery? And how important is it for your team to know if maybe your child snuck in a few bites of something out of hunger or before the surgery? Why is that so important?
It is important, and it's so hard. We understand that your kids are hungry, and even adults get hangry, right, when you're not allowed to eat or drink anything for several hours. But it's really a safety issue, Katie. We cannot risk any of those little stomach contents coming up under anesthesia. Under anesthesia, everything relaxes. Everything goes to sleep, including all of the body's safety mechanisms that keep food and liquid inside the stomach when we're up and about and sleeping or working. And when you go to sleep under anesthesia, we don't want anything coming up and traveling the wrong way, coming out of the mouth or going in a direction that could cause problems. And so we need those tummies to be as empty as we can. And we understand that's challenging for parents. We try and do the younger babies and toddlers early in the day so that we minimize the amount of time that they have to be without food or drink. But it's so important to follow our instructions. And we're doing that out of a pure safety reason to keep your children from any due harm that we can avoid.
You mentioned that there is a drug that you can give the patients, the children, before this medical procedure, often just to relax them. Talk a little bit about that and why it plays such an important role.
When we put children to sleep under anesthesia, Brittany described it, we have a soft mask that we put on their nose and mouth that is full of anesthesia and oxygen, and they breathe that in and out to fall asleep. And that only takes about 30 to 45 seconds for the most part, which doesn't sound long, but it can feel long when you're a parent watching that. And oftentimes that process can be a little difficult to watch. Sometimes the children are a little nervous, and so they can be tearful. We reassure the parents during that time, and we also prepare them for their children to look a little strange to them as they fall under anesthesia. For kids who might have a harder time with that process, we do offer that medicine. It's called Versed. It's medicine that we can give by mouth in the holding area. It's a liquid. Sometimes if your child has an IV in one of the main hospitals, it might be administered in that IV. You might see your child start to act a little silly. They might be giggly. They might be sleepy. They might fall asleep and take a little nap before we go back to the operating room. Everyone reacts a little bit differently to that medicine. But it just helps to ease that separation, that nervousness. Typically, though, we don't start to give that medicine until we would need it. So a toddler, for example, with maybe some separation anxiety. But certainly the older children, our tweens and our teens, that's a pretty routine medicine because they bring a little bit of extra knowledge and nervousness with them that a child who doesn't really understand what's going on that day. So it's a very routine medicine that we have to offer.
Dr. Wilson, one thing that I was also surprised by as a parent was that they put the IVs in after the child was asleep, which that's also such an anxious thing for most children is to have an IV put in. But to find out that that didn't happen until they were actually asleep was also a big relief.
It is. And Katie, that's one of the advantages of coming somewhere like Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, where you have pediatric anesthesiologists who are comfortable doing that. Parents who take their children to outside surgery centers where it might be a mix of pediatrics and adults, especially in your older children, even though they're maybe only 10 or 12, they may expect to have an IV placed before the anesthesia, which can be very difficult. And so, yes, if we can safely, then we will proceed going to sleep with the mask of anesthesia and oxygen before the IV is placed. And that's a relief to all of us because that's very difficult to put an IV into an awake child. And so we do have that advantage of the other opportunity to go to sleep with just the gentle breathing. Although sometimes it's hard for kids to breathe that mask too. It's a very different experience. And that's why we either can have a parent with us helping. At many of our surgery centers, the kids can bring a favorite blankie with them, or they can bring a favorite stuffed animal for comfort. And that helps them too. We try and do things to minimize a very anxious time for them.
Yeah, you do a lot to make sure that the patients and the parents feel very comfortable. It goes a long way. It's appreciated as a parent, I'll say.
Very much so.
Good. I'm so glad to hear that.
And Brittany, what would you say to a parent who just found out their child needs to have surgery? What would you say to them, knowing what you've been through?
I would say that the big feelings, all the feelings, the questions, and maybe the concerns that you may have, they're normal. Everyone that I've talked to and what I've walked through, it's normal. And what I know is, after doing this several times, Children's is going to meet the need of your child for exactly what your child needs, not just cookie cutter. They're going to tailor it to what your child needs. Children's comes alongside the parent just as much as they tailor what the child needs. And I think that that's a wonderful thing.
Absolutely. It's so nice to have them as a team in your child's care. It feels like they're invested just as much as you are. And Dr. Wilson, I'd love to end with you here, and particularly for listeners who are maybe preparing for an upcoming surgery or who may be listening because they have been delaying a surgery that needs to happen. What do you want them to remember from today's conversation?
I want them to know that we understand. We are here for you and with you. And we have provided for wonderful surgery environments that will meet the needs of your children and you. We're ready to help walk you through it. We're ready to answer your questions, and we want your child and you to have a successful day just as much as you do.
Thank you so much for joining us today and for spending your time talking about this important conversation and just easing some fears for those that may be in the same situation. So ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. Thanks, Brittany.
For more information about this episode, head to choa.org/podcasts. There, we have links to a wealth of resources to help you prepare for your child's surgery, including checklists and tips for calming those pre-surgery jitters. I'm Katie Beasley, and this has been Hope and Will, a parenting podcast from Children's Healthcare of Atlanta.
This podcast is for general informational and educational purposes only. It is not to be considered medical advice for any particular patient. Clinicians must rely on their own informed clinical judgments when making recommendations for their patients. Patients in need of medical or behavioral advice should consult their family healthcare providers.